Well, it is a great joy to be here, and thank you, Pastor, for letting me come. And Brother Willie Fair had called me and said, could I come up and preach for him? And I said, sure. Willie Fair got saved in our ministry about 18 years ago. I forgot about that till he reminded me. In fact, I was teaching a class on the book of Acts at the college in Winkler, and I was telling the pastor, I said, I'd never sensed such a, demonic manifestation. And I said, we need to pray. And all of a sudden, Willie says, I need to get saved. Another person says, I've been living in sin. I need to get right with God. I went, wow, that's okay. Amen. So that was great to see Willie. And then all of a sudden, I'm shocked because his kids were always just little bitty things. Now they have grown up. And I guess it means I'm getting older. Amen. No doubt about it. But I have heard about this ministry for some time, and I've never been able to visit, so I'm so thankful. When Willie had texted me, he said, now, by the way, there is no Sunday night service. So I said, Brother Willie, if you don't mind, unless you have plans, I'd like to go visit Brother Webster's church, because my son-in-law had mentioned this, lives in Winkler. And I said, I'd love to be here. And he says, no, that would be fine. And then so he lets me preach, and I trust I can be an encouragement. Amen. And I didn't realize there's people here that, that I've known or some kind of feeling with the college or been in my classes that I taught, so that is great as well. I look back, and where does time go, preacher? I'm amazed. I mean, goodness gracious. For Kathy and I, it's been 47 years in the ministry. We just had our 49th wedding anniversary, and that was on the 8th of this month. In fact, I've been gone the last two times on our wedding anniversary. Terrible. So I can't do that next year. Not 50 years. It's over for me. But I called her, on the 8th. And I said, by the way, I just want you to know that I love you, miss you, and, just want to say thank you for 48 years. And it got quiet. I said, I know, 49. I'm just teasing. So. But the Lord is so good, and I see this building. This is phenomenal. I love this, and what a blessing the gospel's being preached, and I love this pipe organ. I've been in a few churches that have them, not very many, so this is fantastic, and you guys have done a great work, and this is just exciting to see what God has done. I just briefly, and I may tell you more about it as I get into the message this morning or tonight, the pastor asked me to just kind of share some things about our life and our ministry. I grew up, and you can probably tell, deep south, amen, in the States. I was Catholic, devoted. I was committed. I was dedicated. In fact, so much, I didn't like Baptists at all. And now I'm a Baptist preacher. God's got a sense of humor, amen. And I am so thankful that God reached down. And that's an amazing what God did, because I would go to Mass as a teenager twice on Sunday mornings. The only teen I knew. I went to everything. I know the priest. I mean, I knew him personally. I know that they were thinking, here is a potential priest, no doubt about it. And I loved the church. And but God did a miracle, people praying for me, and I got saved by the grace of God. And I can still remember the first time I went into a Baptist church, and I'll tell you what, I said, I'd never heard the Bible. In fact, in the 60s, if you even visited another church, at least the church I was in at the time, taught you were doomed and damned for hell. I mean, very strict. And you were not to read the Bible. You go to the priest for everything. And but God saved me, and what a great joy. The Lord has been so good. And, from there, got saved and then went into the military, came back, and Kathy and I, we got married. And from there, Bible college. Wow, where does time go? And went to Bible college. Our first ministry was up in Maine in New Brunswick, because the church was literally on the U.S.-Canadian border. Really unique. But God used that ministry, and there's a man that, Lord willing, I'll share with you tonight. I was 25 years of old, preacher, when I took my first church. I didn't have a clue about nothing. I still don't know if I know anything. And but there was a deacon in that church. His name was Brother Smith. And he lived about an hour away in New Brunswick, and he would come faithfully every service. But I remember, when they called me, and he looked at those other men, and I was probably the youngest one there, and he said, that's the man of God. We back the man of God. And God used him to help me tremendously. I'm very thankful for what he did in my life. And from there, we pastored up there, and from there, we came back, and I knew God was leading. I wasn't sure, but we went into... From there, we worked at a Christian radio station while I was trying to discern God's will. We went to church missions, and God made it clear. And from that radio ministry, I met a lot of pastors. We went into missions. Our first missions was in Europe. We spent 16 years in church planting in different countries. And I look back, and one of these days, I'd love to go back and see what God has done and see some of those churches. But that was a long time ago. Amen. And then we were in Mexico for a short time. And then, oh my goodness, from there, let's see. I'm trying to remember some of the places, preacher. From there, we went to, God called us to Manitoba. I'd met Pastor Sullivan many, many years ago, and he said, why don't you come up and preach? And I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm going to go up there or not. Maybe the fear was God might call me. Now I'm glad I listened. Amen. And we went up, and sure enough, God began to work in my heart. But I'm a church planter. I love to work and encourage with churches. That's been my passion, my heart from day one. I've been asked even, lately when I pastor, said, guys, I said, one, I'm 68. I said, you know what? And started, you need a pastor that can stay with you. And I said, my burden is, I tell you what, and me and somebody was talking, but we need pastors in Canada. I know that. And by the way, no matter where I go, there's a need for pastors. And so I'm praying, God, raise up men. But we came here from day one, and Pastor Sullivan said, would you help us in the college? And I thought, well, I don't know, because my heart is in church planting. But I recognized quickly there's just not enough churches. So we began to get involved, and that was almost 22 years ago. We've been involved with the college. I always taught Thursday night and Friday night. First, we lived in Winnipeg for a number of years and doing church planting there. And so we drove back and forth, and then we moved to Winkler. And then from there, we worked, and I'm trying to think, where did I go from there? Yet to Carmen. And we looked there where Jason Yellenny's at. We began to work, and he began to work under us, doing a tremendous job, very proud of him, and doing a great work there. And from there, we asked to go and help at work in Steinbach, and we worked there for about a little over a year for work that was struggling. And then from there, I'll never forget this, Brother Sullivan, would you pray about Thompson? I said, where's it at? I looked. They told me. I said, you've got to be kidding me. Oh, so I said, sure, I'll check it out. But I'm thinking, there's no way. I remember driving for hours and hours and hours and hours. There is nothing. And I was teasing somebody one day. I said, I know I've gone too far north when I've seen moose hitchhiking. This is really far north. Amen. And we finally get there, and I thought, man, we are in the middle of nowhere. But I tell you, those precious people, and they begin to, they were so excited. I noticed something that day, preacher, that said, we have a pastor today. And so I was, that burdened my heart. But the bottom line is, the next day when I drove back, and, God burdened my heart and said, you need to go. And I thought, how can I do this? I mean, we have the college. I have other ministries. And I thought, well, maybe we can do it in 6 months to get a pastor. Well, we didn't have a pastor in 6 months. So for 5.5 years, Kathy and I drove back. And it was kilometers, I forgot, but our car was in miles. It was 1,064 miles. We did round trip every weekend. We'd get there Saturday night. I'd do counseling. I'd do teaching. I'd preach three times and then counseling again that night. My body was exhausted. And my body was worn out. Praise God, they've got a pastor, Brother Chris Lyle, doing a great work. I'll be with him next week. Very excited about that as well. Do pray for my wife. She's about lost her health. Her heart is, she's having some situations and circumstances. And so you do pray for her. So she's not able to travel with me. And so I am just thrilled to be here. So I hope I covered everything. Other than that, my mind is blank. Amen. Take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Kings. Chapter 2, looking at a familiar text, and I was praying, God, what is it that I can hopefully share and be an encouragement to this ministry? I've heard some great things about this ministry, about your pastor, and some great things you've done. That's exciting when I hear about your ministry. This is tremendous. I love this. I do have a great burden for Canada. I mean, I've been involved in it since the 70s, except for the fact of Europe. And so most of my ministry, even though I'm from the States, has been outside the U.S., been Canada or Europe. But in 2 Kings chapter 2, and I want to read a few verses. And this is a text that's been encouragement to me. This has been a chapter that God has used in my life in numerous times through battles and difficulties and discouragement. And there's some truths that God began to share with me that I trust can be a help to you. By the way, can you hear me in the back? I'm not sure. Am I loud enough? That's good. Amen. Great. But let me go ahead and read some of the verses. Just share some truths that I trust will be a help to you. And I look at this group. I just preached a youth thing the other night. And I looked at those young people. I said, don't you know you're the next generation? Don't you recognize you're the one who can make an impact on Canada and around the world? That's my burden, that God would raise up a generation with passion and power that know God, that will go out and do great things for God. But notice with me in verse 1 and 2 of 2 Kings, and I know this chapter, we know this, but I just some thoughts that I want to share with you that God's been working in my life. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And then in verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Now, that was interesting. When I was a young Christian, I read this. This didn't make sense to me. Just stay. You don't have to go. That's what I'm seeing in that. That's what I saw it then. For the Lord has sent me to Bethel, and Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came down, or they went down to Bethel. I'm going. And three times we see this. Notice also in verse 4, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And once again, you don't have to go. You don't have to follow. Just stay where you are. And notice, and he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And then once again, notice in verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee. Man, it looks like, you know what, I just don't want you to go. And then notice, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off as they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took the mantle and wrapped it together and smote the water. I mean, we know this. I remember when I first got saved, heard messages on, you know, God's presence and God's power. And I said, boy, I want to see that. And smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. I want to see God work. I've seen him work in you. I want that. By the way, I pray that that's your passion. I'm thankful for what God's done in the past, but you know what? I don't want to live in the past. I want to see some present situations and power and blessings. Amen. Verse 10, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. I would love to have seen that. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of it. In other words, the hope of Israel. The spiritual hope, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. And he took up the mantle, or the robe of Elijah, that fell from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters. We know these words. And I pray that's your passion, your desire. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? The first time I heard a message on that, boy, did that stir my heart. I said, oh, God, I want God in my life. And I pray that for every ministry and every church. I pray in these last days. I know that it's tough and difficult, but there's nothing too hard for God. And he says, notice, and so when he had smitten the waters, notice they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over on dry ground. And let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for thy mercy and goodness. Thank you for the grace of God and the power of God. We thank you for this ministry. And Father, thank you for this church and for these people, their faithfulness and for their outreach. I pray, God, that greater things will be done. I pray for the city. God, we recognize we go into the towns and the villages and places, and so many are hurting and devastated. God, how we pray for the power of God on the ministries and churches and for this ministry, for these people. I thank you for the pastor, for the faithfulness and the testimony that I've heard about him. I pray God's hand upon him. Lord, use him, and God, encourage him. And Lord, thank you for saving me, and thank you for letting me preach the gospel. Now, Father, be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I think about these verses, and you know, I can remember some of the ministries that, why this chapter is a blessing to me, because different ministries that I've been in, God has used this to encourage my heart. When I begin to read about the great revivals and the great movement of God, and preacher, I don't know about you, but I just put a stirring in my heart. I remember recently I was reading once again about Moody, how that he had a great passion and a great burden for young people, you know, in Chicago, then this and around the States and around Canada. He started bringing all these young people in the 1800s, praying God put a fire in their heart, and God did. God began to move mightily, and I read how that, you know, young people as young as 14 years of age begin to take initiative in reaching out, and man, did that stir my heart. In fact, I think it's entering many of the great revivals in Europe because we lived there. Some of the great revivals then was often, you know, it was the young people who were initiating or involved in it. And I pray God raised up another generation. I recognize that, you know, my life, unless the Lord tarries my life, I don't have the time to serve God like some of you do. But you young people and young couples recognize this. You've got a great opportunity. And I know we live in difficult times. Man, we live in, I mean, depressing times, especially if you listen to the news. And yet, can I be honest? I try not to listen to the news. If you're not discouraged before you go, you will be before you leave, amen. But God, I like to remind myself, God is not depressed. God is not discouraged. He's okay. And he's still there with power and sufficiency for all the battles and all the circumstances of life. And man, does that encourage me. This chapter is a reminder. It is God's process of molding and building and maturing the servant. There's some principles that I see in this chapter, you know, that encourage. I have to go back to and read it. Well, now, God, it looks like it's impossible. And God said, now remember some truths. I remember the one work, you know, that in fact when we were in Italy, I'll never forget the work there. And man, I tell you what, I was excited to get there, but man, we had mafia. I even had a contract put on my life by the mafia. That was exciting. Amen. Great faith. I said, it's time to leave Italy. Amen. But we stayed. But you know, I remember some of the challenges, the difficulties, and that ministry, just a young mission work. But they literally hated each other. Went, well, we're going to have revival here. And I think, Lord, what can we do? And I'm thankful for chapters like this. Another pastor I'd call said, Brother Dave, remember the truth of God. Remember the person of God. God has not changed. And God is greater than all the obstacles and greater than all the difficulties. I'd have to get back to the basics. I'd often tell the college student, let me just give you the greatest battle you ever faced. You. It's not where God puts you. It is not so much the things around you, or maybe you think the person or the health or the finances. It's me. Will I believe him? Will I trust in him? Or will I let the circumstance control my life? God in you is sufficient. No matter what your past is, God is greater. That's the exciting part. To know that God is greater than all the challenges. And what God did in the past, I want him to do again. I really do. Man, that's my passion. I shared this morning, I preached on prayer for Brother Willie. And I remember saying this the other day. I was meditating on some truths, and it really dawned on me. The pioneers in Canada, in America, and the early pioneers, I thought it was someone made a statement. I forgot where I read it from, but many of them had a prayer life that was unbelievable. They would pray on an average of 3 hours a day. No wonder God did great and mighty things. Amen. Maybe just to get back to the basics and to realize God is still there with power and sufficiency. You and I can never change a life. I'll never make an impact without God. He's never been impressed with me, but he's always impressed with the Son of God and those that will seek his face. God is sufficient. Amen. I have to preach to myself. I have to remind myself God is able. But I remember that work in Italy. I was so downcast, and I was looking in this chapter, and God began to work in my heart. So I trust some of these things will be a blessing. I mean, the work, you know, I think about, one work in particular. I started over 3 times. I'm thinking, oh, man, I have had it with this. And, even some other pastors, Brother Dave, you ought to just move. I'm thinking, yeah, praise the Lord, I'm getting good advice. And God said, no. I went back to this chapter, and God reminded me, just stay faithful. See, God didn't call me to build the work. He called me to him. God does the work. God does the living. Amen. And God is not perplexed or distressed or overcome, God is greater than all the challenges you and I face. And man, there's a lot of challenges and a lot of difficulties. I'm in a lot of ministries. I'm finding a lot of hurting people today. Sometimes I'm in ministries where I find people that are, you know, that are ministering or labored. Sometimes the pastor, you know what? They're overwhelmed with difficulties and challenges. That's why you need to pray for your pastor and his wife, because you know what? They're the target. If Satan can discourage him, he'll surely discourage the work of God. I'm thankful for the good testimony I've heard, and that's great, but you know what? Pray for them, for God's protection upon them. But just some simple thoughts I trust will be a blessing. As I thought about this, in fact, I was reminded, well, you know, I jotted this down. I'll never forget this. Let me just share this with you. I got to watch myself. I start running too many rabbits. My son-in-law, he lives in Winkler, and he just never says much. And he was driving for me one time, and I was just exhausted when I was going back and forth from Kenora trying to help in a ministry there. And we go over Sunday morning, come back Sunday night, and all of a sudden he just said, "I'm amazed." So I wonder if I said so. I was sleeping. I said, "So what are you amazed about?" He said, "You actually finished all three sermons." I said, "Well, I'm glad I made your day." Amen. Wonderful. Amen. That's just exciting. Amen. But I want God's blessings, God's power on our ministry and our lives today. As I thought about different ones. In fact, I thought about the fact of Jonathan Edwards. We know that one, don't we? And boy, you know, the man who preached sinners in the hands of an angry God. And I remember reading about that, and God stirred my heart. I remember being in Europe, and I could remember the battles and the coldness and the stagnation. And men would go door knocking, and nobody would want to respond. And man, I'm just really downcast. And I remember a pastor sent me a book by Leonard Ravenhill, Why Revival Tarries. And preacher, I read that, and I was so convicted. I said, it's not them so much as it's me. God is still sufficient for all the challenges and all the conflicts and the battles. God didn't call me to serve without Him. God called me to labor through me. And God is surely adequate for all the challenges and all the difficulties. But W.A. Criswell, never forget this, in our first graduation, after all this great W.A. Criswell, at the time they were still standing firm, but he got up and made a statement, very depressing. Finally came to the point that I'm going to graduate. Praise God, I'm going to graduate, go into the ministry, turn the world upside down. And he stands up and says, "For many of you, God may never use." Whoa, in a graduation service. I went, what is this? I feel so encouraged. He said, "For some of you, it may take at least 20 or 25 years. Maybe 10. And then he said, "There's the rare exception where some recognize it's not them but Jesus, and they're ready now to be used of God." And I went, wow. For it's not about your education or ability, but your relationship and your walk with God. It's about the sufficiency of God and not man. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. I don't know what your challenges are, but God is greater than every challenge, greater than every difficulty. But let me get into this, otherwise we're going to get bogged down. We're going to get through this thing, Lord willing. Just some simple thoughts. Let me give you this. First of all, you know, in fact, what I see is three tests, but I've given four, and you might see more, but just some things I've jotted down, and each of these things are things that are essential to the walk with God and knowing God for my life, for things that God has spoken to me about that are essential. And notice with me some things that are essential to the ministry. And I believe it's found, these things are essential in every Christian. I think they're found in every successful ministry, Christian work, church, whatever. But notice in verse 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." As I said at the beginning, the thing that amazed me was, I said, I don't quite get this. This amazes me. All of it, it's like Elijah's telling, you don't have to go. You don't have to serve. It's like your pastor getting upset. You don't have to be faithful to church anymore. You don't have to read your Bible. I mean, as a young Christian, I'm thinking, this doesn't make sense to me. I'm trying to grasp the truth. And three times he said, you don't have to. You don't need to. And finally it dawned on me, what he was saying is, you know what, Elisha, I know what God wants for me. I know the will of God for me. I've surrendered to it. I've committed to it, to God's plan, God's purpose, no matter what the cost, no matter what the requirements. I'll follow Him. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. But he said, you know what he was saying, Elisha? You have to come to that place on your own. I can't do that for you. And the bottom line is, I thought about this. You'll find this in every great ministry. We like to read about the great men and women of God, or great ministries, or great movements of God. You'll find these things. You have to come to that place. I want God. I want to serve God. I mean, God wants to bless you. God is determined that every Christian be successful and blessed. I believe that in every ministry. But we have to come to that place. God, whatever the cost, I'm yours. I will follow Jesus. But the first place, and it's not an accident, is Bethel. We know what Bethel means. As I meditate on this, as I was going through different ministries and going through discouragement, and God reminded me, remember Dave Cook, it's a relationship. It's not being busy for God first. I mean, you know, for God, but first of all, having a relationship with God. Bethel means the house of God. That means I know that I'm saved. That means, you know what, I have an intimate relationship with Him in my prayer life and loving the Bible and hiding the Word of God in my heart. How's your relationship? See, that's the foundation of Christian service. That's the foundation of the Christian home. If we don't have an intimate relationship, you can't be successful. You're not prepared for the conflicts and the battles that are coming your way. Amen. I cannot minister to others till, first of all, God has touched my heart and God has worked in my life. It's not about the flesh ministering to the flesh, but it's about God working in me that He can touch others. And God in you is more than adequate for every trial and every difficulty, amen, in this town and around the world. You know, there's a lot of, I'm praying for the south part of Winnipeg. It's about 300,000 people. I've been praying for some time. Lord, help us to find a young man that we can work with to start another church there. There's a great need for a man. What, 300,000 people? Can you imagine that? When I was asking one of the men about the church is here, and I'm recognizing, thank God this church is here. 40,000 people? Wow, there's a great need all over Canada. I go to these places, I went, man, in fact, when I was going to Thompson Preacher, I was called by two different groups, different areas, I don't remember where now, and one was running 40 people. And they said, Brother Cook, we heard about you. Can you come and help us and train us how to be a church, how to be Baptist? We don't know. And I had nobody to send, and I could not go. Not long after that, another group running 25 or 30. That just boggles my mind. So we need workers today. We need men and women with a passion and a heart for God. But the greatest thing is, and I tell the students, it's not about, hey, I got a diploma. That will not put God on you. You better learn to walk with God and know God and have a heart for God. One of my first pastors when I got out of the military, I'll never forget this. God, and I didn't have a clue. Being a Catholic, I didn't have, and went right into the military. I didn't have a clue. And I'm not joking. When I read Job, I thought that said job. When I looked at Psalms, I said, is that palms or what is that? I didn't know. I knew nothing about the Word of God. And God began to work in my life and give me a passion, a hunger for His Word. And God began to bring men in my life that served. But his name was Herd T. Burnett, long been dead in heaven. But I never forget this guy. I just started going to church in a little town where I was going to Bible college. And come to find out, you know what? His education, he didn't hardly have any education. But I never sensed such humility and brokenness. This man was already in his 60s. I was 20 years of age at the time. And one of the deacons that I got to know, but I noticed when he preached, you sense God. And one of the deacons said, Brother Abe, let me tell you about this man. He couldn't read and write when God called him to preach. In fact, when he had to quit school when he was about 6 years of age because his dad passed away back then in the 20s, you know what? There was no money. There was no government subsidies or whatever. So he went to work at 6 years of age to help his mom and food on the table. So he never learned to read and write. At age 15, he got saved by the grace of God. At age 20, he got married. And all of a sudden, God said, I want you to preach the gospel. God, how can I do that? And what he would do when he finally surrendered to God, his wife would read the text and God would lay a text on his heart and he would memorize that text and get up and preach the word. And finally, he began to learn how to develop a little bit of reading skills. I found out later on that man had probably started, I think, in the state of Florida, some 40-something Baptist churches. And he'd always say, I don't have any abilities. And he was sincere. I said, Lord, give us some more inabilities that can go out with passion and vision and make a difference in lives. People need the Lord. I was reading the other day, I'd remind, I think it's what it's John Harper, the pastor. I believe, if I've got it wrong, forgive me, but you know, the one on the Titanic, the pastor. I was reading about him once again. Man, it stirred my soul. His passion, his vision when the, you know, when the Titanic, when they hit the iceberg and knew it was, and he knew that it was going down, and he took his little girl, apparently his wife wasn't with him, and he kissed her and said, "We will see, meet you on the other side. I love you." And made sure she got in a lifeboat. And then you know what he started doing? Several of the people who survived said, he was going up and down the decks pleading with people, praying, "Would you get saved? Please get saved. Do you know the Lord? Are you saved by the grace of God?" Then the boat went in the water, and he was in the water. One man that survived said, "I'll never forget this." He would swim to people praying and pleading, "Will you trust the Lord?" Finally, he said, John Harper came to him and said, "Sir, let me tell you about the great," in the freezing water, he said, "Let me tell you about the greatest story ever been told. Jesus Christ and him crucified." He said, "Are you saved?" He said, "No, sir." "Would you get saved?" "I'm not ready." He said, all of a sudden he took that life preserver off. He said, "You need this more than I do." I mean, really, I'm thinking, man, that man really is convicting. That is faith. And he said, I watched him as he swam off, knowing that, you know, he's almost at the point of death. And he begins to lead others to Christ. And then, sure enough, before he perishes, he comes back one more time. "Sir, please trust Christ." He said, "I got saved." And he told the group, he said, he made it. He said, "I got saved because of a man, John Harper, that would not quit, had determination and passion because of his love for the Savior." Listen, do not quit because of problems and battles and circumstances and testings. Amen. I love those stories. You know another one I love that I was reading just again the other day? A girl named Rachel. I was reading that once again in the Columbine Massacre in Colorado. I mean, it just boggles my mind. And all of a sudden, here's these guys that are crazy. And a lot of it, I think, just anti-Christian movement going into shooting people, especially made sure she was shot 3 times. And one guy that survived said, "I was watching this, and all of a sudden, when they realized she was still alive, he went and grabbed her by the hair of the head. He said, 'You still believe in this Jesus?'" She said, "Yes." Shot her one more time, and she died. Her mother found her diary, and if you've not seen it, it is great. And it's been a while. I've got to go back. I'm trying to remember the best I can, but her diary, you know, her faith and her intimate walk with God is amazing. But she also said this: "I sense and believe I don't have much time left on this earth." But she did not regret her commitment to Christ. That's commitment. Lord, give me a vision of a God that can. Help me to recognize, oh, I know we're in the last days, but not to surrender, not to give up, but to move forward. God is still God. And he's looking for those, Lord, hear my. That's what I'm getting out of this. That's what Elijah's telling Elisha. You want to know God? You got to be committed. You've got to be determined. God is greater than every trouble and trial. This second of all, and I'm going to skip over a lot of this. Second thing I noticed, and is that I'm sharing with you some things that God was teaching me. But notice in verse 4, and Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And I don't like Jericho. Jericho speaks of suffering. I don't like difficulties. If I know I'm going to have problems, I'm going to take a detour. But you know what? If God does not test us, we don't grow. You need problems. I don't like them. I often tell people I'm allergic to it. I break out in complaints. But they're necessary. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And sometimes those testings are difficult. And man, I mean, wow, it can be overwhelming. I remember when I was so excited, preacher. I surrendered to go to Bible college. I was so excited. And so we went down and we were starting to college. And I'll never forget this, the first 6 months, I said, "This is great." I'll never forget. And there was 1 month, after 6 months, my wife having problems, and they went in and diagnosed her with cancer. We'd only been married about a year. I said, "You're kidding." I'm thinking, this is crazy. 2 weeks later, my mother called me and said, "Son, to let you know, I've got cancer, got to have surgery, not sure how bad it is." Oh, man. Boy. And the devil's saying, "Where's your God now? Where's the grace of God and the love of God? And why would God let you go through this if he's truly God? Why would you serve him?" See, God wanted me to experience that. And then a week later, I got a call. My dad passed away of cancer. He had been an alcoholic. I'd led him to Christ not long before that. He didn't know he had terminal cancer. And so here's the devil working on me and thinking, oh, man. And when I first got saved, this may seem funny to you, but I went to the preacher after a couple of weeks. I said, I don't think I'm saved. He said, why are you doubting? And he went through the plan of salvation. I did it. Why are you doubting? I said, I've never had so many problems. I've never had so many trials. And he said, that's how you know. I thought, well, maybe I got a double portion. I wasn't sure. Do you feel like that? By the way, if you're saved, God allows it because he loves you, not because he hates us. Even when I do wrong and, you know, I'm suffering because of wrong decisions, and when I commit it to God, God will take that wrong and do something great with it. But I got to commit it to him. Difficulties. It was not long after that we were told we couldn't have children and been married 5 years, and I was starting to Bible college again, another Bible college, and I remember I come home one day and Kathy said, we're going to have children. I said, God has just given me peace, and I've been praying about it, and God gave me a promise in the scriptures. I went, okay. Sure enough, 9 months later, God gave us a little girl. Within a few months, all of a sudden, she got really sick, and the doctor would take her to the emergency room immediately, and she was dying. And then the devil saying, where's your God now? And for a solid month, the only word she knew was daddy, 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 screaming in pain. And they could not find out what it was. I'd never been so broke. And just before I put in the hospital, guess what? I got laid off work. And in the States, if you don't have a job, you don't have insurance. And I'm thinking, oh my, I'm going to be millions of dollars in debt. I mean, just fear. God was there. And finally, they came in and said, sir, we want to do an exploratory. If that's okay with you. I said, sure, whatever. I said, because he said in 2 days, she probably won't be here because she couldn't even take, they couldn't give her anything anymore. And I said, whatever it takes. And man, I was so broken. And then on top of that, and I'll never forget this preacher. You know what? Love you, Pastor. But I remember, I never told anybody, but I remember during that time, we didn't get one visit from the pastor. And boy, did the devil want me to get angry. I said, I can't go there. My wife was hurting. Looks like we're going to say goodbye. But you know what God was doing during that time? There were parents who were losing their children. God wanted me to see that. They could do nothing. And so God crushes us. We cannot be effective for the Lord. And you know what? Wow. I don't like the problems. But how do you know that God is sufficient? Do you go through the storms? Do you go through the battles? But I remember she was in surgery for quite a few hours. He came back and said, we found the problem. And what it was, part of the intestines had been blocked or something. Gangrene set in, but said she's going to be fine. And I'm saying, Lord, thank you. And but then all of a sudden the devil said, yeah, but you got this big, massive bill. I'm like, oh. I mean, yeah, God's good for that one, but is he good for that one too? I no sooner said that, said Kathy, I said, we cannot go in the ministry till we pay all these debts. And I said, I don't know. We may never get it done. I mean, I'm just overwhelmed. And God said, you know what? You just haven't learned. I don't know if I've learned now. I no sooner said that, and the doctor walks in. By the way, they wouldn't say this today. He said, this was our fault. We should have found it. No charge. And I said, would you say it again? Could you write that down for me? Can we trust him today? Yes. Does it seem like the devil's telling you, where's the love of God? It's right there, even in the midst of suffering and difficulties and conflicts and battles. We've seen it when our children in Italy, they tried to kidnap our children, yet God took care of us over and over again. We've seen the grace of God and the mercy of God. Do I prone to complain? I do, and God reminds me, give me the battles. Give me the circumstances. And whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Difficulties, molding. See, you got to go to Bethel. If you don't maintain that relationship with God, you're not going to be prepared. You're not going to be prepared for the conflicts and battles that God will use to strengthen you. And by the way, God uses your suffering to speak to others, to get glory from it. Then there's another one. But I love the blessings. I just don't like the problems. But then notice in verse 6, and notice that Elijah said to them, tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And you know, Jordan, what does Jordan speak of? It speaks of death, dying. And over again, I'm reminded, die to self. That's what Paul said. And John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. Daily, I have to remind myself, it is all about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Dying to self. See, I can't save myself. Why is it I think I can make a difference in my flesh without God? Every day I have to remind myself it's about a relationship, it's about fellowship, it's about difficulties. And you know, if God didn't test us, we were prone to stray. The testing's what? It purges us, it revives us, it strengthens us. God is glorified. Just recently, Kathy and I have been laboring in the college for, about 21 and a half years up here, as well as doing church planting. Loved it. I love going out and ministering and helping. I just love doing that and helping churches and ministries. I think it was sometime last year, a year and a half ago, all of a sudden she started having a lot of severe chest pains and so on. And so we went to this one doctor. He's a Christian doctor. He's funny, but he's just straightforward. And finally, he looked at us. He said, "Mr. Cook, I know you're a preacher. It's over for her if she doesn't stop. She will not be here. Her heart is exhausted. It's worn out. She cannot do this anymore." And in a minute, she started crying. She loved being a preacher's wife. She loved working with the college students. She loved working with the ladies and the children. God doesn't make mistakes. The devil says, question the goodness of God. Look at all this. Where's God in all the midst of this chaos? And God's still there. And we already know the outcome. God's going to win the battle. Amen. I mean, through all the problems and all the battles and all the heartaches, God is still God. But I read this chapter for me, because I sure did need it. I needed the work in Italy. I needed it in England. God remind Dave Cook, what are you doing out there trying to serve God without God? It's about Him. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I had a missionary years ago when I was still in England. He wanted to come and visit. And he came and he lived with me for about 2 weeks, prayed about being a missionary in Europe. And we went out door knocking. He's getting ready to leave. And he asked me, I got to ask you a very serious question. You have to be honest. This will help me in making a decision. I'm thinking, man, he kept going on. I said, I'll do my best. I'm thinking, some great theological question. He said, I may not be able to help you here. He said, do you ever get discouraged? Well, I'm thinking, okay. All right. I said, let me think. Oh, my goodness. That's a hard one. Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. I said, yes. The devil says, quit. It won't work. And then I get back to the book, and God says, the battle is the Lord's. Great is thy faithfulness. What that song, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. Seeing Brother Willie up there. Still remember him when he got saved. I was in a church. This was about 5 years ago. I was going down to preach at a youth conference. I'll never forget this, and it was so exciting. I was visiting, it's in North Dakota, in fact. And I just went by because I knew there was one of the family that got saved in our church in Germany. And so I was going to stop by. I didn't have any place for that Sunday night service. Just going to stop by and see them. And to be honest, I was discouraged. I don't know why, but it just seemed like battles, conflicts, things were not working out. I said, God, man, I'm just what's going on? And I'm sitting there really having a pity party. God said, you need to get out of this. And here's this couple. Their lives were so messed up. He said, thank you for bringing the gospel to us in Germany. I got saved. My wife got saved. He said, now, preacher, after their service, do you remember that young lady that sang? I said, yes, sir. Her parents got saved in one of your ministries in Europe. You saw the young man that just preached? I said, yeah. His parents also got saved in one of the churches you established. God is good. I said, Lord, forgive me for complaining. Forgive me for getting discouraged. He is so patient with me. Isn't the Lord good? To see God touch lives and minister and reach out. I'm seeing a lot of hurting people, but great is thy faithfulness. Can I give you one more? I talked about Brother Smith, the deacon in Canada. Let me tell you, this man, he is my hero. God used him to teach me more about ministry and loving people. And I'd watch him invariably. And man, it was cold up there. Man, it was cold. And I tell you what, being from Mobile, Alabama, I said, God, that's a lot of cold weather. And invariably, I'd have to go through, make sure all the everything was turned off as a preacher, at the end of the service. Invariably, he'd leave one of his kids. He had 10 children, invariably. And God said, Brother Smith, I got one of your children. I'll just keep him until the next service when he came. That's the way he was. I went, okay, Brother Smith. But there came a time when one of his little girls, named Becky, diagnosed with cancer, 6 years of age, 6 or 7 years of age, suffered terribly. He'd go and visit her, him and her. They'd try to keep a good face, not to discourage her. Belly was swollen, just very tough, especially when it's a child. And they went in, and she looked at her parents and saw the tears, and they're trying to hold it back. And she said, "It's okay. Mom, Dad, I trusted the Savior. I know whom I have believed. It's okay. It's okay." He said, "Boy," he shared that testimony and went, "Wow." She passed away. The church we helped dig the grave was, he had nothing. He made the coffin himself. And man, it started raining that day. It was nasty. It was muddy. Oh, preacher, it was so discouraged. And we were trying, the men were trying to lower the coffin into the ground, and somebody slipped and the coffin turned upside down, and everybody just went, He jumped in the mud and the water and the rain, turned the coffin the correct way, and then looked up from the grave and said, "It's okay. Rebecca's not there. Becky's not there. She's with the Lord." Whew. That's faith. That's faith. He's still serving. I owe him a lot. God used that deacon to teach me about walking with God and knowing God. Listen, God wants to use you even in your difficulties or your sins. When you confess it, he'll use that to strengthen the lives of others. God's grace is so great. But there was another point. I got to move on for the sake of time. Almost through. But there was another one that I jotted down. It's faith. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Can God work in my life? Can God work in this generation? I mean, hey, Elijah's gone. God used him mightily. Will God work in me? Can we still experience great things from God? One Bible college I went to, that's the closest thing to revival I'll ever see. They had 2 weeks of revival. Imagine that, morning and night services in the early 70s. And the service was on Holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty. And a Tuesday morning after 2 weeks, he got up to preach. About 3,000 people in the auditorium on a Tuesday morning. And nobody said, "Let's pray." But I mean, there was a spirit of just conviction and power. And all at once, nobody said, "Let's pray." He got up to preach. He couldn't do it. Everybody fell on their knees, started crying out to God. "We're broken. We're 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 undone. Churches are broken. Lives are broken." Man, I mean, I'm just, and nobody said, it just, let's didn't call for prayer. It just happened. I'll never forget this. For months, every service, they were averaging 50 souls a service coming down the aisle getting saved. The preacher would open his Bible. I'm sitting there, I look back and I said, "God, I want it again." Preacher opens his Bible, read his text, and all of a sudden, altars start filling up. He very seldom got to preach or finish his sermon. People come up to the platform, fall on their face, said, "Preacher, I have sinned. Forgive me. Preacher, I have gossiped. Forgive me." They'd have English class, math class in the college. Revival would break out. Soul winning would break out. I went, "Wow. Can I say, I want it again. I want it for Canada. I want it. We desperately need it with broken, battered lives. God is good. God is sufficient. There's nothing too hard for the Lord." And you know what? The generation today, a lot of them outside the church, they don't know. You're the answer. You and I are the solution. Oh, may we say, "God, whatever the cost, whatever it takes, I want to know God more than anything else." There was a test of faith. He grabbed that robe. Yes. And God did it. What God did in his life, God will do in yours. And I still, like, we know the story, double portion. We know the example. I mean, Elijah performed numerous miracles. But Elisha, he was one short. But, God has a sense of humor. God fulfilled a double portion of the miracles, but Elisha had already died. We know the story. I think it's funny. I remember reading this. I went, wow, he wasn't there, but God did it. They're bringing this person to bury that had died, and these robbers, whatever, they're coming into the cemetery, and all of a sudden they panic, dropped him right into this grave, and guess what? It was the grave of Elisha, and the man came to life. Well, I don't know about you, if I'd been those robbers or whatever, I think I'd say, you know what? I don't think I'm going to stay here. This place is, there's something. I'm not going to mess with these people here. We need people who not only talk about God, but know God. God is greater than your situations, those secret things you think nobody knows, maybe the pains, the battles, the conflicts, and people, the burdens. God is still God. He's sufficient. God, give us some saints with passion and power and praying that God may move. See, every time I feel like, God, I can't anymore, God says, no, you can't. You never could, but I can. It's not about the person, it's about God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I've got a burden for this ministry already. I want revival here. I really, really do. I like that about the Russians are coming. Maybe they'll get saved. Amen, revival. But they ought to hear about, we're coming. God is in that place. God is sufficient. We can still trust in Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I have no idea what you're facing, what you're going through, the circumstances and trials, and I just have no clue, but God knows. And just for a moment, would you seek the face of God? I don't know about you, but I've been praying lately, God, I need revival. I not only need it, but God, we need revival in Canada. Lord, we need revival in the U.S. Lord, we just need revival. Lord, I'm praying for God's people that God would stir us to realize that God's hand is not short and that He cannot save nor do great things. He's looking for vessels to work through. Can we plead with God, whatever the cost, whatever? God, I want to see that mountain. I want to see God work. He wants to use you. But I have to come to that place. I want Him more than anything else. More than anything else, Lord Jesus, just to know You. I'm going to have prayer, then turn the invitation over to the pastor. But you know what? Let's don't leave tonight with burdens and battles. Let's pray, God, we want revival. I need it. If not, pray for me. I need revival. Father, thank You for Thy goodness and mercy. Thank You for this great ministry, for this pastor and these people. I pray, God, for every need. I pray for this town. I pray, God, for an old-fashioned awakening of God. We need it, God. Desperately need an old-fashioned moving of God. In Jesus' name, amen, pastor.